All episodes of It's Great Business reflect the views and opinions of Intracoastal Marketing and Strategy Group and its guests, and do not reflect the official policy or guidance of employers or government entities.
You're listening to It's Great Business, sponsored by Intracoastal Marketing and Strategy Group, where great business equals great people.
Welcome to another episode of It's Great Business, and I'm Janice Berg-Levy. Today's guest is Nick Panay. Nick serves as the Chief Marketing Officer at Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based software solutions empowering data-driven healthcare. Prior to joining Inovalon, Nick was the Chief Marketing Officer at Amelia, a leading conversational AI SaaS company. Before his tenure at Amelia, Nick was Vice President of Brand, Demand, and Digital Marketing at DXC Technology. Nick's 25-plus years of marketing experience in the technology industry also includes a variety of marketing leadership roles with Hewlett-Packard, previously Compaq Corp, and Avaya. Welcome, Nick. I am super excited to have this conversation, and I think our listeners are going to really get a lot out of your background and your career journey.
Very good. Thank you so much for having me, Janice.
Absolutely. So just a little bit, I'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about how I know my guest or how we know each other. And if you saw the little intro there in terms of, or listened to it in terms of Nick's background, we crossed over many years ago at Avaya. And it is something that we emphasize on this program, which is stay in touch, keep your network, and you know, just stay current, stay relevant. So with that, Nick, tell me a little bit about who you are and what you believe your purpose is. What are you passionate about?
Yeah, my name is Nick Panay. I am a lifetime marketer, I guess I would say, in the digital realm, as we call it, a digital marketer. I've started my career in online services, and then moved on to different technology firms, as you heard in the introduction. I was born and raised in Cyprus, which is an island in the Mediterranean. For those of you who need a small geography lesson, it's a very small place. I've been in the States for quite a long time, and I've, in essence, enjoyed every single moment as a marketer. I found my happy place, and it's in marketing and technology, that intersection. And that's where I've been in the last 25 plus years.
Wow. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about just your personal and your career journey. First of all, I mean, coming from Cyprus, what was that like? And then how did you end up landing your first position? And, you know, what was your educational background?
Yeah. I came to the United States as many, you know, foreign students with, you know, very wide eyes and great expectations about the United States and life here. And I was not disappointed. I remember actually driving through the city of New York on the way to college when I first landed. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, this looks just like the movies, you know, with the smoke coming from the underground and the yellow cabs and all of that stuff. There were no Ubers back then. So it was quite a moment, and I appreciate the country and what it's offered me ever since. I've I studied, my undergraduate was in marketing, and then I did an MBA right after my marketing degree at the same university, Fairleigh Dickinson University. And as a foreign student, I did not have the opportunity to do internships. So that was unfortunate because it made finding the next job tricky as you're overeducated and underexperienced. So I always tell the story as my first job was unloading trucks at UPS because the market for jobs was very, very bad. And I had just gotten engaged. And we were paying for our own wedding, and I figured, hey, might as well start doing something while I'm looking for my first gig. So my first job was at UPS unloading trucks. Having said that, you know, even though I was in great shape unloading trucks for a living, that was not exactly what I had in mind for a career. So my first break came with a company that was in the very, very beginnings of the online services world. And that was, you know, going to date me a little bit, but back in the time when really online meant closed user groups, Prodigy, CompuServe, Genie, those kind of services. So it was a competitor of those firms. And that was my first experience with technology. And I fell in love right away, not only with online services, but the whole idea of marketing in the technology realm, and I've stayed there ever since.
Interesting. You know, I think that your example in terms of, you know, trying to get into the market, having the advanced degree, et cetera. I mean, yes, obviously, you know, getting internships is great. As you know, we have listeners who are just beginning or somewhere in the middle, maybe trying to reinvent themselves. So, you know, put yourself out there. I mean, I actually commend you. I mean, above and beyond trying to make money for your wedding, you got to get in it, right? You got to just start somewhere and get to know people. And from there, you know, what if you really keep pushing, you will get what you really desire. It might take a little while, but you'll get there.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And my firm belief, Janice, is that there's no job beneath any of us, right? So there's something to be learned from every job you do. And frankly, I could say I've learned more as a life lesson from that experience than any other job ever since, because it was literally the hardest way to make money imaginable, and very little money at that, but kind of showed you what people go through and, you know, up and down the value chain and all these jobs that are available. And when you eventually get a job in a nicely air conditioned office and you wear your nice crisp shirt and your jacket and your tie, and you walk around pretending that you're really, really tired, you think to the days where you're unloading trucks and getting paid, you know, $5 an hour. And all of a sudden you're not that tired anymore and you don't complain, right? Because it gives you perspective. So I wouldn't recommend working at UPS with an advanced degree, but my point is, you know, you can take, there's a lot to take away from every job, especially in the beginning of your career where you're, you know, putting a lot more energy in than the benefit you get out. So something to be learned.
I agree. And even if it's not with the advanced degree, but let's say you're on your way to an advanced degree and you have summers, and let's say you don't get an internship, you need to still have a job. And I always use the example of, for myself, I waitressed. And let me tell you, that is a humbling experience to waitress. It is a hard job, but you really learn a lot, and you really learn a lot about customer relationship management, let me tell you. So yep. Absolutely. So hear that, everybody out there, you know, don't just put yourself out there. So how do you define success at this point?
Yeah, I will say to you that it's changed really over the last year or so. I've always looked at success as professional in a very narrow way, professional and financial success, right? So thinking about life in terms of, achieving professionally the top of your profession, if possible, changing, in essence, the company or companies that you are involved with for the better. And leaving a mark from a professional standpoint. And then, of course, financially, you know, we all work so that we can get the financial rewards that lead to some level of you know, life quality, you know, for your family and for yourself. So that's the traditional definition, and that's the definition I, you know, subscribe to, which honestly I think is very narrow and a bit misguided. And what changed all of that is very, very recently in the last couple of years, I had a discussion with both of my kids. They're both adults. I have a 21-year-old daughter who's a rising senior in college, and a 26-year-old young man who is working in New York. And we were having this very discussion about what success looks like. And my son had this great definition that I've adopted since then. And that is to have great experiences, meet as many people as possible and impact their lives in a positive way. And that basically puts everything in perspective, because if you, everything else becomes a means to an end, and then you don't over rotate your life on the financial element or the, just the title and the career advancement and all of that. If you look at that as a means to an end and you focus on the end itself, then, you know, life can be a lot simpler and a lot more enjoyable, I found. So I wish I had had that discussion with my son 20 years ago, but then he would have been a baby. He wouldn't have had that that kind of insight. So,
Well, you did a good job. You did a good job. And I would say I have 20-something-year-old, and he would probably say the same thing. It's fascinating, though, because I think a lot of it has to do with the environment that we matured in, we grew up in terms of the workplace as well. Because I, like you, it was next job, more money, next job, more money.
Right.
The other attributes came along, but unfortunately, I don't know that I really, what do they say, smell the roses. I don't really think that I was as focused on those as I should have been. So I think he's right on. Yeah. Good stuff. And I do think that as we get more comfortable, potentially that definition of success, maybe, at least I can speak for myself, I don't know how you feel about this, certainly comment, is that you are more comfortable financially. So you lift your head up maybe a little bit more for some of those other things. Any reaction to that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And it's the same end game, but you're just looking at it from a very, very different perspective. And to your point, if you take the time to really enjoy and appreciate where you've gotten, that's it. That's good. That's a positive side effect. But you get there through another means versus over-obsessing on that. And then, you know, eventually getting there, but you're so tired and spent that you don't really appreciate the journey itself, right? Because you're always looking for the new destination, to your point. So I think that's the right order, is just focus on the end game, and these jobs and money and everything else becomes a means to an end. I think you'll enjoy it, both sides, better.
Exactly. So is there anything you would have done differently in your life's journey?
I would have taken a break between my undergraduate and getting a master's degree, and would have started my career a little bit earlier and done the MBA maybe at night, or, you know, on the side, in essence. Because I would have gotten a jump a little bit and kind of getting some experience, you know, at lower levels before, you know, before really going after the bigger jobs, right? So it would have added, you know, a couple of more years experience. So for my early career, I think that kind of gave me a slow start. So if that was one thing I would have changed, I would have just gone in for a job right away, some entry level job, just to give me the experience to then go after the bigger jobs. That's the one thing I would change. I definitely wouldn't change the area that I chose to build a career around, which is marketing. I feel marketing is just simply one of those professions that is hard to find, because it combines both the art and the science in one functional area, right? So one day you could be dealing with algorithms on predictive, you know, advertising, and then the other day you're looking at colors and fonts and, you know, and talking about narratives, right? So from the very scientific to the very creative, and it allows you so much growth within that discipline. So yeah, that's what I would say. I would have, you know, listen, there's quite a few things I would have done different. I don't think this session is long enough to take my list of all the things I would have done different.
It's, a, it's, Yeah. It's one of those questions where people go, well, you know, it's like hindsight is 20/20, right? If right. I would have gone down this road, then that could have been. So I'd say majority of people say, you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You end you're right. You end up in a good place, but you could have taken slightly different routes to it. And again, to go back to the point we discussed previously, I wouldn't have spent decades obsessing over, you know, levels and money and all that. You kind of have to, but I think I over obsessed on it, and I missed some of that, the smelling of the roses that you mentioned in the process. And you can't get those years back, right? Because you're so hyper focused on the money and the stepping up, and oh my God, I'm 30 and I'm not a director yet, or I'm 40 and I'm not a VP yet, right? I think I would have dialed that down a little bit, dialed the intensity down a little bit. I don't know how doable that is, but I would have at least tried.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm right there with you. There were very few moments of, ooh, let's celebrate. Maybe not just for myself, but, you know, just looking at everything that had been accomplished, whether it was as a team or as an individual or in just my life as a whole, right? It's right. I was always looking, okay, what's the next thing, right? Got to do this. But I think there's some personality traits maybe too that go along that. And I would say marketing, I would love to give absolutely further emphasis on that, because just like you, I just love marketing. After all of these years, I think it's a profession that you can't get bored in, because there's just so many facets of it. I think with that, tell me a little bit about the company that you currently work for, because I think our listeners might find that really interesting in what you do.
Yeah, so Inovalon is a provider of cloud-based software and data solutions. And we serve the entire health ecosystem from the insurance companies that we, you know, health insurance that we call the payers, the providers of healthcare services, the pharma, the doctors, the ambulatory facilities, and the big health practices and so forth. Pharmacies, specifically specialty pharmacies for very complex disease management. And also we serve the pharmaceutical community. At the center of what we offer is the country's biggest primary source database that includes over 360 million lives with longitudinal data of the entire health journey. And that information comes from a million doctors, 500 or so thousand facilities. I think something like 500 or 700 million medical events and all of that, that goes into this database that with thoughtful, smart analytics becomes hugely valuable for the entire health ecosystem. And why do we do this? Is really there's two outcomes. One is for improved health outcomes, in essence, improved lives, because with data, we can close gaps that are otherwise, you know, hard to close, and also improved economics for the entire health ecosystem. And the cost that we pay as patients to the economics of the various players in the healthcare system. So we have 100 applications in a SaaS model that deliver this value that is centered at the data that we collect.
Interesting. So right there, if you're looking at your career, as we said, no matter where you are on the journey, here we are, and we're talking about marketing, but we're talking about it in a specific industry, a specific application area around data, and we know that data is exploding. So thank you so much for sharing that, because maybe it'll spark some ideas as people are thinking about their own careers. So We're going to turn a little bit here, Nick, for a second in a section that we like to call fun facts, just getting to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
All right. So first, tell me a person that you admire the most and why.
I'll give you two. One, in terms of the person that everybody would recognize, to me, Barack Obama was really an inspiration. He's an inspiration. Just his own personal journey, the impact he had on the country and the world, the way he carried himself, his personal belief system, and I think he is genuinely a good guy. You know, simply a good person that worked hard, got to the world's top job, and did a remarkable job at that. And I also admire his oratory skills and his ability to rally people and to get people passionately involved in something. Doesn't speak anything about my politics. Frankly, I always vote for the person, not the party. So I'm always kind of straight down the middle from a political standpoint, but I just liked him as a person and as a president. I found him to be a very motivational figure, for me, at least in my life. So that's one. And on the personal side, I'd say my mother is almost kind of my idol and a person that I admire. Is, you know, she had a very difficult life. She was a widow in her early 30s with two kids and no college education, and she managed to, you know, put us through college and set us up for life, and worked extremely hard to do that, professionally achieved success herself on her own. And you know how we all say we have multiple chapters in our lives. She has, I think, multiple books in her life. You know, it's like many, many books and many chapters. And she's survived it all and has stayed a very positive, strong influence in my life. And actually, we moved her from Cyprus to the U.S. just last year at 77 years old. So she's a highly flexible person. She sold the house, put everything she owned in three pieces of luggage, and came to the U.S. So now she's gets to experience the parts of life that she missed with my brother and I over the last 35 years or so.
That's I love that. Thank you. It's an inspiration to me as a mother. I hope my sons would say that about me. Favorite book?
The Old Man and the Sea is actually my favorite book. Partly because it's very short and it will keep my attention span. Actually, that's not true. I really, really enjoyed it. It was just one of those books that I should have read as a child, did not. I read as an adult, but I absolutely loved it. I read it more than once, and for me, just the message of perseverance and against, you know, success against all odds and all of that it conveys in the simplest language possible, but it's just so powerful, right? I mean, that's, as an author, I think I was just, Hemingway to me was a master in that. It's, you know, very simple language, but extremely powerful message behind it. So I really love that.
Okay, that's great. How about favorite city?
Favorite city. I would say New York City. To visit, let me just qualify that. I love New York City. I think I get a sensory overload after like maybe a week. So I think I can only do a week at a time in New York. But, you know, it's by far the most interesting, most diverse, most unique city I've ever visited. And I had the pleasure of going to college in northern New Jersey. So I got to visit New York a lot. Then we lived in New Jersey for a while during our days at Avaya, and used to go in a lot as well. And my son now lives there, and I go visit him often, and I experience it there. But I think for sure New York is just gritty and interesting and unique. I don't think there's any place like it.
I agree. And I think I haven't done the actual count exactly, but I think a majority of our guests have said New York, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe that says something about me. I don't know. And there's people that I have invited, but who knows? Anyway, I agree with you. So then we go into favorite food.
Well, now you're going to get the tainted view because I'm Greek by ethnicity. So any type of Greek food is my favorite food. It usually, so if you were to narrow it down, it would be gyros with lamb or some lamb derivative. So. You know, that's...
Well, you're right where my husband is. So there you go. Yeah. He just has to walk down the street and it's like, oh, I think I'm in the mood for, I say it differently. Gyro.
Gyros. Yes. That's the American.
The Americanized version. Yeah, yes. Right. Yep. Exactly. So this has been super fun. How can listeners reach you if they want to chat more?
Well, my LinkedIn is wide open. I spend a lot of my time there, so you can easily do a search for me and link in that way. I'm on Twitter as well. I stay connected, as you said in the beginning. I love staying connected with people. I have a pretty wide network of folks that I met over the years that I love to stay in touch, but I also welcome new connections and anyone I can help in any way I can. I would welcome it anytime.
Fantastic. I just want to thank you so much for being a guest on It's Great Business.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a fun discussion. I really like this format and I appreciate the opportunity, Janice.
That's great. Once again, thanks everyone for listening to It's Great Business and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Also, check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, and visit us on the web at intracoastalmarketingstrategy.com.